There's a thousand further women living down there. They're all living for the devil they care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com, Las Vegas Weekly, lasvegasweekly.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, our news magazine that comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on...
The Saturday!
The
isn't
Saturday.
Wasn't that the impression that you did of me? The Saturday!
The Saturday! Yeah, I did that. A little thrown voice when you were on vacation. When
yeah.
you were where you were in Florida.
I was yachting.
You were yachting.
I was yachting.
You were yachting. You've
yes.
been on a you've been in a yacht more this year than I think I have in my life. I don't go to a lot of yachting.
Yeah,
I don't do a lot of yachting.
Well, no, I don't do a lot of yachting. I go on a boat a lot, but this was like an official like yachting with
the
group.
That was a big yacht.
Yeah.
A big yacht.
It was amazing. It was like the show Below Deck on Bravo. I was really got involved with the cruise lives.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow.
Cool. Oh, it was a crazy, crazy weekend.
It was a really crazy weekend.
So, I mean, it's every once in a while we kind of regroup and because we don't really have a lot of time to talk about what's going on in Vegas, and obviously for a living... What you do is let the world know what's going on in Vegas. But for those people who have not read the paper and want a little bit more, don't want to read,
who
period,
have not read the paper, right?
Or who haven't read your blogs or anything. But for those of us who would rather just listen than read, we're going to kind of recap some things. I mean, we had Rock in Rio happening all weekend.
Right. Right.
And we had the Billboard Awards.
Right. That was all this weekend. And Rock in Rio was over two weekends. It was a pop weekend, the first weekend before last. And then, no, it was rock weekend, the first weekend, I'm sorry. And then pop weekend. So we had on Friday night, we had Taylor Swift close the show.
But I heard it didn't happen until very late, and that a lot of people were disappointed because of the fact that a lot of young kids wanted to see Taylor Swift and... You know, she didn't go on until after 11:30.
Yeah, she came on. Everybody came on later than anticipated at Rock in Rio. And Taylor Swift with her young fans. And I hadn't really appreciated that because I'm not often in audiences or in crowds where there is a high concentration of kids. But in this event,
I've been there, Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. in this instance, you're right. And it's a function of festivals often are... this one, the pattern was it went off on time all day long from the gates opening at 3 all the way through until that last act. And there was a delay and they had to do fireworks, you know, and that everything got pushed back on everyone. Metallica was 40 minutes late and I was near the photography pit when they came out. And at 11:30, when they were supposed to start at 11:10, there were roadies pushing equipment crates up the middle of the crowd toward the stage.
Wow.
Putting stuff. And I'm like... I have not seen this at a rock show before.
Yeah, it's kind of like if it's a festival, maybe you need to not do as much theatrics.
Well, I think you have to account for the time it takes to do all that stuff. But when you're moving equipment up on the stage 20 minutes after the band's supposed to be playing, you've lost a little bit of a grip on your
And
event.
By that point, some people have been drinking since 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you, when No Doubt came out on the first night of a pop weekend. Rock weekend, I'm sorry. Isn't it funny that No Doubt was on Rock weekend?
Yeah,
Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars, they all are kind of in the same vibe to me. Anyway, they're in Rock weekend. It was the first night. And they came out closer, I think, to midnight. And everybody was gassed by then. You know, the crowd was just shot. And they come out and Gwen Stefani stepped on that stage and the lights hit her. The place came alive again. It like got everybody got a second wind and it really came apart for No Doubt. They were so great.
I heard that they were the best of the entire.
You know, you could make that argument. Bruno Mars Bruno Mars is going to be great no matter what. But No Doubt is a band that's been around now for quite a while and they know how to perform at any level.
She's a great frontwoman.
Yeah, she is. And
one
I've seen them in every almost conceivable, you know, I saw them at the old joint.
Yes, so did I. Yeah,
at
the Hard Rock when it was this tiny little room.
1,215 or whatever that capacity was. And then at Thomas and Mack Center, I saw them at this event. I've seen them at Pearl, her at Pearl, and also at the new joint. So I've seen them all at all these different venues, and they always are terrific. They're never anything but outstanding as a live act, and she is a great front woman.
Yeah, she's
and,
amazing.
You know, I think Taylor Swift could learn a lot by watching Gwen Stefani, to be honest. I think that she's she's not there where she's supposed to be. There's a certain charisma you need when you're a live performer that is either inherent or you have to appreciate. And that's where Taylor Swift, I think, as a live performer, kind of falls short.
Yeah, she's more of a recording artist.
She's a great musician and artist, and she's a very good, she's got a good voice, and she has a good grasp of what she wants to do with her career, and she's got a lot of passion. But I don't think that she's a great live performer. I've been saying that.
I haven't, you know, other than award shows, I've never seen
her. The first time I've seen her outside of an award show.
Well, listen, people, we have so much more to discuss about this.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're going to take a little break.
Yes, let's do that. We're going to have Dish and I are going to come back, but first, it's Josh Bell with Movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Aaron Jordan Young from Vegas, the show, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
I am very upset with you.
I get it, you're angry. I understand, but have you ever seen this before? Does it look weird?
Don't touch it!
Why are you yelling at me?
Not while you're driving, Dad. It's dangerous. Just pull over.
I swear to God, Case, if you're on drugs,
I'm not on drugs. All will be explained as soon as you touch this pen.
That's Britt Robertson as teenage prodigy Casey Newton in the Disney sci-fi adventure Tomorrowland. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. When Casey discovers a mysterious pin, she experiences glimpses of a gleaming world of the future. Casey teams up with a grumpy ex-inventor, played by George Clooney, to discover the hidden futuristic city of Tomorrowland and eventually save the world. Instead of an actual adventure story, though, this slow-paced, convoluted, and strangely preachy movie is more of a presentation about the concept of adventure stories. I give Tomorrowland 2.5 stars out of 5. Two worthwhile movies are also opening in limited release this week. Israeli drama Get, The Trial of Vivian Amsalem, playing at the Regal Village Square, takes place entirely in a courtroom as the title character attempts to obtain a divorce authorization from a rabbinical council. The movie could have just been a 2-hour lecture, but the filmmakers turn it into an affecting and even suspenseful human drama, aligning the audience with Vivian's sense of being trapped and helpless. I give Get, The Trial of Vivian Amsalem, 3.5 stars out of 5. At the Century Suncoast, the documentary Lambert and Stamp, about the early managers of The Who, tells a pretty compelling behind-the-scenes rock story, although it sometimes gets a little lost in minutia. It's also hampered by the lack of interviews with key players who've passed away, which isn't the filmmaker's fault, but still makes the story feel a bit incomplete. I give Lambert and Stamp 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Cats with the Dish. John Katzlamita seated here with Trish McCrone. We're flying through our recent escapades in Las Vegas for this week's show. And we were just talking a little bit about Rock in Rio. I wanted to do a little bit more post-event commentary on this because it's the first time an event of this kind has been held on the Strip, of this scope has been held on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of buildup. And I mean, I didn't make it over because I was more doing the billboard type stuff. But those kind of parties. But so I did make it over. But from what I have read, these are the things I've read. One, that they did not have the capacity that they assumed would be there.
There was less than they wanted.
So how much less?
You would have to say that you were looking at maybe a total of around anywhere between 250 to 300,000 people total over the course of the event. Let's
the
just say
nights.
That
four
over
days.
4 nights. It started as 80,000 a night, and then they drew it down to maybe 50 a night, you know, which would be 200,000. Let's just put the number right in that range. They have an announced number of 172,000 over the 4 nights, which is You know, that
a lot less than what they anticipated.
You know, and I think that there's a lot of, and it was less than what they wanted. And there was a good deal of discussion about how tickets were selling leading up to the festival. And that,
yeah, there were places that had very that at the last minute that there were certain places where you could get really good discount tickets because the ticket prices were very high.
Yeah, they were. The original prices were upwards of $500 a weekend for VIP and $300 a weekend for regular general admission. And which is, you know, when you look at what you get compared to, you know, other festivals, is not that out of line. But for a first time event in Las Vegas, it was up there. It's a lot of money. That was one consideration. Another consideration was, as far as what you were getting for your value, was that the lineup was of acts in large measure who you could have seen in Las Vegas at some point or another or around the country. You know, No Doubt has been, as I said, here many times. We've had Bruno Mars in residency in Las Vegas at the Cosmopolitan. He's no stranger to Las Vegas. But, you know, Metallica hasn't played here recently, but they haven't played anywhere in the United States. Taylor Swift also is been
around. And she's
around.
Coming back this summer.
Yeah, she's been around a lot. So those are the four main headliners they had, you know, activity going on all over the place. They didn't have a Bruce Springsteen, a U2, you know, a McCartney.
But though, how long were the sets?
They were arranged on the main stage from an hour and 15 to Swiss was 2 hours. Mars was 90 minutes.
You know, I thought it was like going to be like 45 minutes an artist.
Those main stages were going for about an hour each. John Legend's set was an hour. You know, the Big Sean, he played the rapper. He was out there for an hour.
I wanted to see Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, he was interesting. You know, he's one of the more interesting acts I saw. Probably the most fascinating to me because he came out in front of what the number was. You know, let's say the number of people who were watching at the time was somewhere around 40,000. And he's out there with an acoustic and what they call a loop station where you play and then you record what you've just played and activate it. And so you have juka juka jung and then that plays and plays. And then you play live over that. My cousin Marcus Heaton, he's an incredible guitarist, is one of the first people I've ever seen. In fact, he was the first one who I've ever seen to use a loop station live. And it sounds like you can create an entire band experience. You can do a bass line. You can do with your voice. You can do a backbeat, a drum beat, and the guitars. He was doing that, Ed Sheeran,
very cool,
for all those people. And just him. It was really fascinating.
Yeah,
just him on stage
with
us. And it's
almost like a cool guy to hang out with.
He was very interesting. Yeah, he was very unassuming. He was wearing like a plaid shirt.
Yeah, he's kind of like a geeky looking guy that's like so cool.
There's no pretense to him whatsoever. There's no theatrics behind him. It was just him on the video panels. And it was almost like a baby guitar, too. It wasn't even a regular sized acoustic. That was interesting to see.
Yeah.
You know, and he's friends with Swift and came out later and had a duet with her. So that was a cool thing. The grounds themselves, the whole area there has been redeveloped on what they call MGM Resorts Festival Grounds to the tune of $25 million. MGM Resorts and Cirque du Soleil are partners in it with the company that is called the Yucaipa Companies that owns Fresh and Easy. And those are the three equity, what they call equity partners. And they've dumped all this money into that infrastructure for that parcel. All the Rock and Rio stuff is going away. That means the zip line, the little villages, the Ferris wheel, all of the staging is pulled out. That was temporary. So you have restrooms and everything else under the ground that will satisfy other festivals. It's a huge investment in the Strip. It's a huge, huge commitment that especially Cirque and MGM Resorts are making there. And I'm interested to see what they're going to do next.
Well, now I also heard, again, I could be wrong, but that to get a food or to get a beer or to get something to drink, that the prices were pretty insane.
The prices were marked up very, and I can't give you anything specific.
I read in the paper it was something like $15 for beer.
Yeah, that would not be. It'd be between 10 and 15 for beverages. And it would be, but you know, the merchandise was like $40 for a t-shirt. There was.
That's high.
It's pretty high. And the problem with that is that when they are in Rio, when the event, Rock in Rio,
yeah,
originated in Brazil.
It goes on to Brazil. Rio now. It's going to be coming up sometime.
Brazil, Lisbon, Brazil. Portugal, yeah. Barcelona, Spain, and the United States. Those are the four places in Las Vegas. The founder was telling me that Roberto Medina, that he has control over all the vending in the other cities except Las Vegas. That's contracted. So I think we might see some changes in approach there, because a lot of people were complaining about that. Now, there's also, you have to get used to the RFID wristband. You know, when you buy your tickets, you're issued a wristband that you activate, and that's in your money is on a wristband that is swiped on a pad. So you want to go buy, you sign up, like I did. I put $100 on this thing, registered and everything. Now my wrist has got $100 on it. And I go to buy a t-shirt, and I hit the pad, and it gives me a preliminary cost. And then they hand me the shirt, and they finish the transaction. I hit it again. I press it up to the keypad. And that's it. No receipt, nothing else, no cash. That's the only way you can buy stuff out there.
What about, like, let's say, I mean, is it a credit card? Do you put down cash in advance?
Yeah, it's registered through a debit or credit card. Yeah.
Okay, so like,
no cash at all in this thing. No cash at any point.
Wow.
Yeah, at all. So there's no money. I mean, there's no actual physical money. So you're walking, people are walking around and hitting their wristbands, and you know, you're buying everything that way. And it takes some getting used to, and it's almost like a game, because I even tweeted this, that I came up to all the way up to 15 cents, and you get your money back at the end. You know, once the festival's over, they return your money to your account. If you have $100, you spend 70, you get 30 back. And you can also top it off out there. You can add money to it. They have top off stations. But I said, I got within 15 cents of $100
out there.
And I bought like a fedora, and I bought a couple of t-shirts and stuff like that. Some items. But I did not go back and check, cross-check pricing as compared to other Las Vegas Strip retail and
well, I would think since you're not exchanging money, you're going to spend more. You're just going to be like, what the heck here? Ching, ching.
That can happen. Yeah. It's not real money then.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really isn't. So they had that, that's
interesting.
A consideration.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
What changes do you think would need to be made?
I would say that what they have to do is be more specific and more, I would look at their traffic pattern at Rock and Rio and really let people know where they can be and picked up and shuttled over, because park on site.
Yeah, I heard there's no place to park was hard.
I had a place to park, though. You know what I mean?
Well, but obviously, because you're Johnny number one.
Yeah,
but okay.
I had side spots in the VIP media area, in the employee parking at Circus. But you have to look at, make sure that people in Las Vegas, especially, who are just still kind of getting into these festival events, where they can be picked up, how they get over, how much time that's going to be, how much it costs and everything, and where they can pay for parking. And that all needs to be out there really early. And they were a little late about that this year. And people were, they saw these estimations here in Las Vegas of 80,000 a night. A day and night. And I think it repelled a lot of people. I think it made a lot of people not want to go to the festival.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest.
That doesn't sound like fun, right?
The thought of going, and when I heard that there were, it's just pretty much just like, maybe like a Woodstock type of a feel.
Yeah.
And being, that I'm not, 22, I was kind of like,
exactly.
The thought of traipsing around and having nowhere to sit and everybody being dirty and drunk and messy. Like, the thought of it just kind of repulsed me.
And it's not a traditional festival in that regard. There's a lot of grass out there. There's a lot of artificial turf set up it feels like real grass. A lot of it on these grounds. So you could sit down anywhere. It was very comfortable, very clean. Very clean event. I mean, they were on top of the...
See, and I would have thought it wouldn't have been.
It was,
with all the
that
people,
was impressive.
I would have thought, like, the dust and the dirt and the allergies.
No, it was a very clean, a very pleasant. The weather held out. I wrote a story in my column about the weather guru, this guy they brought. You got to see this if you haven't seen it. This guy that they brought from Rio, who professes to talk to the clouds and reroute and redirect weather patterns. He was out there, and he's hired by Rock and Rio to go everywhere to make sure the weather is okay.
And what happens if it rains?
It hasn't rained. It didn't rain in Las Vegas. I don't know. It's rained around this event, but the weather guru...
Oh my gosh.
Brides
all over the country are going to be
this
tracking
guy's
him down.
Hanging out in the press. I'd heard about him the first day of the festival. Roberta Medina, the founder's daughter, the daughter of Robert Medina, who's the VP of the entire event, comes up to me. She goes, you need to talk to the weather guru. She's from Brazil, You need to talk to the weather guru. And I go, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, he talks to the clouds.
Oh my gosh.
And I go, what?
Why didn't we book him for the show?
He doesn't. Oh, and this is a great thing about this guy, too. He talks talks to the clouds, but he doesn't speak English. I'm like, Roberta.
So the American clouds understood.
What if the clouds don't speak Portuguese?
Did you have someone interpret?
Yeah. So I sit down with him. I got to get his name. I keep forgetting his name. But
oh my gosh, this is fascinating.
He sat across from me. The interpreter for us was a woman who is a PR rep for the event, and I sat with him and I talked to him, and he's a very almost Star Trekian figure. His name is Omar Santos.
Omar, good job keeping the rain away.
And you can see if you go to my
call, oh my gosh, he looks like he's like out of Central Casting.
Yeah, he's not unlike a Romulan. So yeah, he's dressed all in black, and he's lurching around everywhere. He's kind of just looking around, and I've noticed him.
So he kind of puts on a little show?
A little show. So he came and sat with me, and I said, is this something you can teach? Maybe you could teach someone in our area, because we have a drought. We need weather patterns readjusted. He says, no, it's a gift. I go, well, we're going to take you hostage. I told the interpreter.
And so all of a sudden the United Nations came in and were like,
And I go back out.
He was escorted out of the building.
I go back out, Dishy. I swear to God, I go back out after interviewing this guy, and I'd filed the column, and I'd go back out because I'm at the festival grounds working, and I ran into Steve Stallworth and his wife, Stephanie. You know, he's the arena director over at South Point. And Stephanie's family's from Las Vegas. Her father had the King's Castle, by the way, owned that. Both long-time Las Vegans. Steve was a quarterback at UNLV. They're good friends of mine. And I walk out, and the first people I see are the Stalwarts after talking to the weather guru. And so I go and talk to them. I photobombed a selfie that they were taking. We're talking about the event. He goes, hey, Bubba. He calls me Bubba. Hey, Bubba, you got to know about the weather voodoo guy I have been hearing about. There's a voodoo weather guy. I go, Steve, you're not going to believe this, but I just filed a column about him. He's, oh, you're on top of it, huh? So is it true? Can he really control the weather? And I said, yeah, of course it's true.
Of course
it
is.
But it never did rain. It was supposed to rain out there.
There may be something to it.
So they have the weather guru. He's part of it. And, you know, Rock and Rio was, I liked it. I thought the footprint was great. The layout was great. The rock streets.
It's coming back in 2 years.
In 2017, they had the rock street themed attractions around the little villages where they had some great entertainment. Rock Street USA had burning up dance crews out there. They had salsa bands from Brazil on the the Rock Street Brazil stage. And they had our friends Dave Perico and a few others, local musicians who were in a band called Stone the Beatles. And this is a reimagined and recharted Rolling Stones, Beatles, and other classic rock.
Wow.
It was like a horn band doing this.
Oh, except close to locals, yeah.
Jerry Lopez sat in with them on one night. Yeah. And that was cool.
So there was music everywhere. So it was cool.
It was happening everywhere. It was programmed intelligently. It was paced well.
It was just the lateness of the.
They were, you know, and you're going to have that, I think, I think you have some cost issues. I think you have some lineup issues. You have some marketing issues with Rock and Rio, too, because I've always said when your title invites a question, you have to look at the title. And Rock and Rio doesn't tell you. First, it's not all rock. Second of all,
I originally thought it had to do with the Rio Hotel the first time I heard about it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people in Las Vegas thought that.
Yeah.
So I have had this conversation with all the people of Rock and Rio, and they said, you know, they tried to take Rock and Rio into mainland China for a while, because there's a zillion people in China, obviously, and they like doing these festivals. They had a problem with the name in China, but it wasn't the Rio part. It was the rock part they didn't like. They didn't like the rock and roll thing. They have
more into techno, I think.
Yeah, well, I just think that
that was just a very generalization of an entire continent.
Well, I think that they probably would be, though. I think that the type of music that they would be more drawn to would be more technologically advanced and not like the Rolling Stones necessarily. Yeah. But the term rock is very hard in that culture.
Interesting. Well, then we had another, though, huge thing going on this weekend, which happens every year, which is the Billboard Music Awards.
You were all over that.
Yes, I was. I somehow was.
I'm watching this Instagram feed you have.
Yes.
You were like, at one moment I'm talking to you. Now, here's what's going on. I'm at the event, and I'm in the bowels of the MGM Grand covering it. And I'm watching your Twitter feed, and you're like, I texted you, I had understood that you were not at the show.
Yes, I was.
You were home. And I never did get to Wayne. I couldn't get to him on the red carpet exactly. I saw him, but I couldn't reach him. So I saw him in cap, but they didn't see me. And all of a sudden, you're there.
Yeah.
At the parties.
Yeah.
What I was fill in the gaps. You're in your home in your jam jams. Yeah, so here's the
thing. I was with my niece, Lauren.
And 20 minutes later,
yeah,
you're
and
over here.
You're
with
texting me saying, and I'm sitting in literally like sweats or kind of pajamas, sitting in the theater watching The Lost Boys with my niece, who's right. just turned 13. And all of a sudden, Wayne and Kat get back with the limo and they said, well, they're waiting for you at the after party. And here, the limo's waiting for you. Go throw on a dress. So I literally ran to my house in, I had slippers on, ran to my house across the way, and I like very, very quickly, I put my body in the shower, but I mean, I literally like threw on a dress, did a little something with my hair, grabbed my makeup, got in the car and put my makeup on in the car.
Wow.
Eyelashes and all. And like 20, from the time that Kat and Wayne got home to the time I was at the after party that I actually arrived at the party was probably about 35 minutes, which for me is ridiculous.
That's like a record.
Yeah. And then, that was fun. And then we went on to the after party, which
was at
I can't think of the name of it in the SLS.
Oh, Life.
The club is. Life. Right. I kept calling it Light. Mm-hmm. It's Life.
Light is at Mandalay Bay.
Yes. But then Light used to be at Bellagio, right?
It was right. We're correct.
I'm very confused mm-hmm. about this whole Light thing.
Well, Light is the Cirque nightclub at Mandalay Bay that used to be Rum Jungle.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So that's where that is.
But I found that the whole thing surrounding the whole thing. But what was interesting to me is that on Instagram, of course, I was getting sent shots from Wayne Security, and I was getting sent, and then of course I was picking up things on Wire Image. So I was kind of live Instagramming, tweeting and all of that.
Yeah.
As pictures became available to me, I was, you know, being very stalkerish on the on social media. A lot of people thought that I was there, you know, because of the fact that I was so quick with the
it looked like you were there.
Yeah, with Instagramming. But because, you know, I wouldn't have been able to be that quick because of the fact that there wasn't a lot of great reception, and there never is in MGM Grand Garden.
Yeah, it does take a while to get stuff out of there, for sure.
There's a picture of Wayne Newton with Kanye West that I put out. And it was so polarizing.
How many
people had bizarre comments like, Wayne is such a class act and such a wonderful guy, and he's horrible, and he's this and he's that. Kanye West is, and then this is before I realized that he had been completely booed.
Yeah. Well, I think it was this Kardashian effect, or the Jenner effect, that was booed. Wasn't that what happened?
I heard it was that when he finished his thing, everybody was it was just kind of like a big boo fest, anything regarding Kardashian and Kanye.
Well, that his performance, I saw it live, and was riddled with profanity and
yes. And he's saying they way too much hit the mute button.
Yeah. Right. Well, he was saying things that were gonna get them in trouble with the FCC. I mean,
smoke, you couldn't really see him.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Kanye West is I've seen him do a couple of these award shows. He always does bring something unique. He really does do a big, big number. I mean, it's always something that is powerful. But I don't think you can blame Wayne for, you know, being in a photograph with somebody.
No. They were saying, no, it was, I mean, they were blaming Wayne, but they were, no, they were I can't believe he would, some people said like, oh, he took a picture with him, but blah, blah, blah. And by the way, from what I was told, Kanye, in the picture, he looks normal Kanye, but he was very pleasant. He was very nice. And
I've heard he's a really nice guy.
But most people are to Wayne mm-hmm. Newton. And so it was one of those things.
Well,
and,
yeah.
and so then Ed Sheeran, he really enjoyed, thought was adorable. And, that he was very nice. But it was a great thing that Ludacris had done an interview in advance where he said that he had that who was the most interesting person he sat next to in Vegas in an award show. And he said, Wayne Newton. And he said, you know, I'm trying to get in contact with him because, you know, this guy is Las Vegas. He's got the key to the city. So if I'm ever arrested,
mm-hmm.
he's the man I need to know. So Wayne then put out on Twitter saying that he would that, you know, he can have the key anytime. And then Ludacris tweeted a picture of Luda and Wayne, who they had done a USO thing together many years ago, of Luda and Wayne saying that Wayne offered to give him the key. So it was a cute little like Twitter back and forth thing.
That was cool. Yeah, I saw that you put that out on Instagram, right?
The statement. Yeah, the quote I did.
I use that in my column, so everything comes around. I'm just reading it now. Well, very good. We have to close it up. We have to close up our show.
Well, it was a crazy weekend.
It was wild, and it's so wild around Las Vegas. There's a lot of energy, and there's a lot to talk about always. And we're going to look forward to further guests in the next coming weeks.
And everybody have a safe, do not drink and drive. Have a safe holiday weekend.
Use your noodle, friends. Good stuff, Trish.
Thanks. Good stuff, Kat. Some great columns all weekend. That was amazing.
Thanks.